This morning's scripture reading is going to come from John chapter 14, verse 27. And it reads, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid."
Morning, everybody. Before I get into this, we just announced Nathan wanting to identify with this congregation. Glad you're here, man. Loved your hat in the picture. We're really glad you're part of us. But we have some other people that I have dropped the ball and not announced. And Tristan and Asha are two of them. They're right over here. Tristan and Asha want to identify with this congregation. Guys, we're so glad you want to be a part of us. Yeah, stand up. We love you guys. Sorry, it took me so long to get that out. Yeah. Okay, look behind me at that picture, or to the side. Some of you see that picture and immediately start worrying. Is that accurate? Just sends a shot of adrenaline through you. You know, worry hits a lot of people a lot of different ways. Some people worry circumstantially. They're pretty okay until something crops up, and then, man, the worry kicks in, and the fear and all the thoughts start spinning around their head. But once the circumstance is over, then they're fine. They're back to normal. Some of you guys will find something to worry about if there's nothing to worry about. You will track it down. You will hunt it. When things are going too good, you start worrying that that's going to come to an end. Raise your hand if that's you. Yeah, okay, good. I'm talking to you guys this morning. Just heads up. No. Worry is a big deal. Now, some of you don't worry no matter what. You sweet, oblivious summer children. We're envious of you. And I'll be honest, I was that guy. I was in that camp until I had kids. Courtney woke me up in the middle of the night to tell me, "Hey, we're going to have a baby." And I flipped out. I freaked out. I'll be honest, I did. And I stayed up the whole night going like, how do we pay for insurance? What are diapers? I don't know what those are. Just, I could not sleep the rest of the night. And here's the thing. We were trying to have a baby. It wasn't like a shock, but I still freaked out about it. And also, Courtney, let a man sleep in before you tell him that news. What? But, so there's all levels, like, of worry that hit us. But worry can be insidious. Worry paints itself as the sensible option too often. Like, if I don't worry about this, this is going to fall apart. So I need to pour my worry into it. I worry about my job. I worry about my relationships. I worry about my kids. I worry about my friends. I worry about my mom, my dad. You know, we have all these things that can just shackle us and bind us down. Worry steals the joy that God wants you to have. I mean, we all read the Bible. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. But worry can just rob every bit of that. It's sneaky. It paints itself as a good thing, as a necessary thing. But the truth is, worry makes you into something that Jesus never intended for you to be. And it puts you in a state of mind that Jesus never intended for you to have. It's dangerous, is what I'm saying. Worry is dangerous, and it's a thief. So, turn to Matthew 6. Let's see what Jesus has to say about it. Now, you read a lot of the Sermon on the Mount, and it seems like hyperbole, and maybe some of it is. Like when Jesus said, "If your right eye is causing you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away." That's hyperbole, right? He's going overboard to make his point. He's not literally saying gouge your eye out or cut your hand off. But listen to this just with an open mind, if you can. He starts off with the word therefore. Verse 25. Whenever you stumble upon the word therefore in Scripture, the first thing you do is back up and read what came before. What's that? Therefore, therefore. Okay, so let's back up just to verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here's what Jesus starts off by saying in verse 25. He's saying, do not worry about the very necessities of life. What's he talking about there? He's talking about food and clothing. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear. He's talking about the basic necessities. Don't worry about them. God will take care of you. Do you believe that? Do you believe his words? He's saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat for lunch, not what you're going to eat tomorrow, what you're going to eat next week, or about what you're going to wear. God's got you. Now think about the people that he was talking to. Some of those people, this was a legitimate need on their behalf. Some of those people that were in the crowd that he was talking to might not know where they were going to get their next meal. Some of those people he was talking to might not know how they were going to clothe themselves tomorrow, and he's saying, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of you. You and I don't have those problems, do we? I don't think any of us do. If you do, let me know and we'll take care of it. But more than likely, you and I have a pantry full of food at home and a refrigerator full of food at home. God's already taken care of you. You could probably live for a week or two or more in your house without having to go out to get food. You probably got enough clothes in your closet to last you for years. So he's talking to people who have legitimate, immediate needs. And he's telling those guys, don't worry about it. How much more you and I? And if Jesus is saying, don't worry about the necessities of life, the thing that it takes, the things that you need to survive, how much more the other worries that we absorb in life? If he's saying, don't worry about food, then what's he saying about your future? If he's saying, don't worry about your food today, God's got you, how much more your retirement account? And what I'm saying is, if he's saying don't worry about the basic things, you definitely don't need to worry about the luxury things. Maybe you don't need to worry about those at all. Maybe you need to let those things fall apart. I mean, we dedicate ourselves to worrying about things that God has already taken care of. And sometimes we're caught up in worrying about things that Jesus doesn't want us worrying about because he doesn't really want them in our lives. Think about it. Go back to verse 19. What's he say? Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Much of your worry exists because you are trying to store up treasures on earth. You've piled all these things onto your life that only exist in the here and now, that are just worldly stuff. And therefore, you worry about stuff that Jesus doesn't even want you to worry about or to really maybe even have in your life in the first place. You're chasing after the wrong things, and those things will not fulfill you. In fact, they're just going to stress you out. You may have too much stuff. That's where I'm going with all this. If you're ever curious if you might have too much stuff, move to a different house. It will shock you how much junk you've got. I think I may have told you this. When Courtney and I were moving up here from Holdenville, we were making trips up here and just putting stuff in a storage unit. We loaded the back of my truck up with just bags of stuff. I mean, it was piled on, strapped down, just bags and bags and bags of stuff. We drove them up here, put them in that storage unit. We're driving home, and Courtney says, "You know what? We didn't need any of that." And I said, "Then why did we move it?" Like, it was just dead weight. A lot of us are just carrying dead weight, and that adds to our worry, and it adds to our anxiety. I'll just say it, ditch it. If you've got things that are dead weight on you, get rid of them. And I'll tell you how here. Or what you do instead of chasing after all that stuff is you seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness. You make God's kingdom and God's righteousness your overwhelming priority. So much so that you don't have time to accumulate. Accumulation is a problem, and it's a reflection of our worldly nature and our materialism, that we just want to gain. By the way, this applies to everything but books. I think if you want to buy books, it's okay. My family have become readers, and I've determined that my budget for my books is okay, but my budget for their books is not enough. They need to get jobs. No, listen, if the kingdom of God is your overwhelming priority, if God's kingdom and God's righteousness are the things that you are doubling down on, tripling down in your life, you're not going to feel the need to accumulate. You won't. Here's how you do it. First of all, God's kingdom and righteousness. Here's how you seek those first. You put them, whatever your order of priorities is, you put that at the very, very top. God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And what that is, we'll go to righteousness first. God's kingdom is just God's rule and reign on the earth. Where God is calling the shots and where people have made him their Lord, right? In the church, God's kingdom right here. How do you make God's righteousness your priority? Number one, you let him have complete control in your life. He's Lord. He calls the shots. And as you encounter unrighteousness in your life, you do the things that it takes to help him, let him get rid of those things, and let his righteousness reign. As you encounter, and man, we all do, as you encounter selfishness, as your selfishness, something happens and suddenly your selfishness is just laid bare, then you go to God and say, "God, I'm so selfish, I'm so sorry. Help me to become more selfless." And he will. You discover impatience and anger. Somehow it's laid bare. Maybe you have a temper tantrum. Maybe you just explode. Who knows? And you realize it and you go to God and say, "God, I know you don't want this in my life. I need your righteousness. Build in me patience and love in the place of impatience and anger. I know that my anger doesn't serve your purposes. God, mold me, change me, make me." If you want to go a step further, if you see those patterns going on in your life, then you go not just to God, but you go to one of your brothers or sisters in Christ and say, "Look, I've got this in my life, and I don't want it, and I know God doesn't want it. Help me, hold me accountable. If you see me going the wrong way, if you see me doing something I shouldn't be doing, then hold me accountable." because you're not worried about shame. A lot of times shame is our priority. We don't want to look bad, or we don't want people to think bad of us. So we'd rather cling to our issue than let just the light of truth shine on it. We don't want our brothers and sisters to know, so it gains power in our lives. But when you're transparent about it, suddenly the grip that Satan has on you is loosened. So we go to our brothers. So you go to God, you go to your brothers, and you pursue God's righteousness. Seeking first God's kingdom means that you are throwing yourself into building up the kingdom of God in each and every way you possibly can. And I'll just say this, you can start right here with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you being the brother or sister to your brothers and sisters that you want them to be to you? It's pretty simple. Are you being the encouragement that you could? Are you being the example that you should be? Are you being a teacher and a guide where you need to be? Are you being a humble student where you need to be? Are you playing the role in the life of your brothers and sisters? Listen, when you have that mission in your mind, everything changes. And you're not worried about somebody singing off-key down the road next to you. And you're not worried about how anybody dresses in here. What you're walking into, when the body gathers, you're walking in there going, man, who can I encourage? Who can I lift up? Who can I draw in? Who can I love? That's what you do. And you step in to the gathering, and man, you're looking for opportunity. You're not here for your preferences or your opinion or your habits to be validated. What you're here for is to lift somebody else up. That's one way to build up the kingdom. If you're seeking the kingdom, that's one way to do it. Another thing you can do is not about this gathering, but it's about people outside of Christ. And you're reaching out to somebody who you know needs Jesus, and you're telling them about him, or you're inviting them to worship, or you're wanting to sit down and have a Bible study with them, or you're praying for them, or you're making an impact somewhere, somehow, to someone who's lost, who's far away from their father, who is far away from the one who loves them best. And you want to share Jesus with them. Let me ask you, are these your priorities? Now, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness first above all does not mean you just quit your job, but it changes your job, because you're not just some employee walking into that job. You're a son or a daughter of the King walking into a situation that needs Jesus. You're walking into a group of people that need Jesus. And instead of just showing up and doing your time, you're about Jesus' mission in the midst of that. Wherever you are, in your job, in your family, in your friendships, in your relationships, in your circles, you have the kingdom in mind. Seek first his kingdom, and then you're going to find something to be true. If you have those priorities straight, if you wake up and your feet hit the ground and you're thinking about what's going to benefit Christ's kingdom, what's going to promote God's righteousness, then you're not going to feel the hunger to chase after worldly stuff. You're going to see those things as the unfulfilling things that they are. Your life will not be bent on buying and gaining and consuming, and that's not what it'll be about anymore. Instead, you'll be filled with purpose. And not only will that hunger fade, but you're not even going to miss it. You're not even going to miss it. You will be changed, and you'll find fulfillment that you've never known before, because your priorities are shifting, your treasures are shifting from worldly things to heavenly things. And your spirit, which is destined for eternity, meant for eternity, will find its home and its purpose. There are several people here, I would embarrass them if I listed them, but there are several people here that I know have made this shift and have walked this way for many, many years, and it's altered everything for them. And they are laying up treasures in heaven that one day you and I are going to get to see. We're going to get to see the benefit of the fruit of God's work in their lives. Sometimes we're going to see it here and now, but really you're going to see it in heaven. So this is incumbent on you and I, every single one of us, to lay aside worry, start pursuing the right things. Listen, when you're pursuing the right things, you're not going to lose anything that really matters. Your eternal, the things that are eternal are secured in God's hands. You may lose some clothes, you may lose a job, you may lose a house, but the priority, the mission of Jesus Christ will be so buried up in you that you can move on to the next thing without being burdened by worry and fear and anxiety all the time. You just live free, knowing that God's taking care of things, that everything is in God's hands. This is how Jesus wants you to live. This is the gift, Daryl read it earlier, but this is the gift Jesus wants you to have. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Listen, Jesus doesn't want you to live with worry and anxiety and fear. That's not the way he wants his people characterized. And a lot of times we bring that on ourselves because we're chasing after the wrong stuff. But I'll tell you, sometimes the things that worry us and make us anxious and fearful, they aren't the wrong stuff. Sometimes there are some real things that strike at our hearts that are legitimate concerns. But even then, we turn them over to him and turn them over to him, and he replaces that worry, that fear, with peace. He says, I don't give it as the world gives. He's not going to give it and take it away and give it and take away. It's always available to you, Christian, to live with peace. Now listen to this last part. All I'm doing is restating what he says, but listen to this. Jesus wants you to have an untroubled and a fearless heart. Do you think you can have that? Do you believe that you can have an untroubled and a fearless heart? Jesus does. Look at the last part. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This is a gift that Jesus wants you to have. Are you willing to upend your life in some ways, alter your priorities, to lay claim to that kind of peace and to have an untroubled and fearless heart? You may need to go to God in prayer about this. You may need to study this out more. You may need to struggle with this. You may need a brother or sister to help you along in the path. And Lord willing, we can all help ourselves along in this. But that is a priceless gift. A heart untroubled, a heart without fear. I want to close this morning with an invitation. Look, Christian, you need Jesus. If you're not a Christian, you need Jesus. He went to the cross and died a grisly death so that you could be saved. He loves you that much. He loves you still. It didn't stop there. Jesus' work is ongoing in heaven, but Jesus wants you to know him and come to him and be saved. If you need to do that this morning, repenting of your sins, putting Jesus on in baptism, please come forward while we stand and sing.